All right, you may be seated. John chapter 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be concluding this time our Living by Faith series. And today's message is called Faith Equals Victory. So I want you to walk away today thinking that math equation, that faith equals victory. If I have no faith, how much victory I'm going to have? None. If I have little faith, I'm going to have what? Little victory. If I have a lot of faith, I'm going to experience a lot of victory. Now, let me define victory in contemporary Christian understanding as we need to understand it. See, Jesus' victory is our victory. And his victory is 100% victory. Nothing incomplete. I'm talking about financial victory, married relations, family victory. I'm talking about physical health and wellness victory. I'm talking about success on your job victory, your business victory. That means you've overcome obstacles and spiritual opposition that would not cause you to experience victory but defeat. So it's Jesus' victory that's 100% in every area or sphere of your life. But his victory is ours to partner in and partake of when we exercise our faith in him. So don't take away this kind of a legalistic thought, but it's kind of a works, religious works thought. You know, that's not right, biblically balanced. But I've got to try to get victory. Or I'm trying to attain victory. Victory has already been attained by Christ. Now, we experience and enjoy it through the exercise of our faith and what he's already accomplished. And is what his word or his will, synonymous, prescribes. In other words, because Jesus experienced it, because Jesus got it, we don't have to get it. We just believe it and receive it. Amen. Everybody here? All right, so I'm setting the table for you. All right, John, 1 John 5, verse 1 through 8. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ has become a child of God. Profound statement. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children also. Another profound statement. These are very profound statements. Because some people don't believe Jesus is the way, the only way to heaven. They didn't say a Christ. He said he is the Christ. So people that got other religions, other faiths, other paths they're following, and they omit or circumvent Jesus, they're not going to experience becoming a child of God. All religions don't equate to the righteousness of God. All right, that's my informational plug. Okay. So everyone who loves the Father loves his children. So if you love God, you're going to love people. And you're going to love the people of God. And that's a whole nother sermon in itself. Verse number 2. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. So he's telling us and describing for us how love is demonstrated. When you obey God, when you willingly obey God, you're telling God, I love you. Some people think, well, I love you is when the worship song is slow and I'm getting emotional and tears are coming in my eyes. But God looks at what? Our heart, our willingness, and then our walk. Not just our worship. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see that loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this every evil world, and we achieve this victory through our, what? Faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those, now notice how it's saying this, only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by baptism in water and by the shedding of his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and what? Blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. Verse 7, so that these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who do not believe that this is, do not believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe that Jesus has testified about his Son. Now, it doesn't matter who, what nation, ethnicity, or culture they are. If they don't believe that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is and the Holy Spirit witnesses that he is in people's hearts, then they're basically saying, God, you're a liar. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can I just cut that off? Yeah, a little noisy. 1 John 5:4 says, for every child of God, again, defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. 1 John 5:4 in the Passion Translation, you see every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Now, what does that word world mean? It means cosmos. It means an ordered system of the world. It's the world system that Satan is in charge of for now and during this dispensation. And it means anything governmental, science, medical, economic, social, anything that the devil throws at us or throws at society is overcome or can be overcome by faith. You got to get that. 1 John 5:4, the Voice translation says, everything that has been fathered by God overcomes this, the corrupt world. So we know the world is corrupt. It's evil. Amen. Every child of God defeats this evil world. The world is evil. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. So if you want victory, you got to have faith. These verses reveal to us the importance of faith in the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In other words, faith in his finished works, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his exaltation as Lord. Amen. Savior and Redeemer. These verses of Scripture also reveal to us the key to victory, our faith. Again, I'll say it again, as I said in the beginning, no faith, no victory. Little faith, you're going to experience and only enjoy a little bit of victory. A lot of faith, you're going to experience and enjoy a lot of victory. Simple math. Now you say, well, what about area of finance? Well, faith works the same in any area. Finances, family, physical area, the mental area. If you feel like your mind is going off or not doing right, you're not sleeping well or something like that, there is victory available for you and for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our focus and our faith in Christ's victory enables and activates and appropriates our victory. We said it before many a times, our faith level determines our victory level. Our faith level determines our victory level. You know, I can experience a certain victory. I had, you know, two surgeries in my life, and one was better than the other one. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, your faith level was higher on the first one. Without hesitation, without even sitting there waiting on the Lord to answer me. He said, your faith prepared and your faith got ready for that procedure. It was a hernia procedure. Because I said, Lord, I said, well, can't I just believe you and get rid of this thing without even going to under the knife? And he said, your faith's not there. And because on your faith level right now is hanging all these other stuff. And you would overburden your faith if you took something away from what you already carry. Because like faith is like a curtain rod. You put too much curtains on it, and I've seen it, curtains come tumbling down. Because that rod can't carry it. So your faith level determines your victory level. So in my case, you know, he said, you got 3 weeks before the procedure. Get ready. Because faith prepares, faith gets ready. So my faith was getting ready. What did I do? I fed my faith at least 10, some cases 15 healing scriptures a day. And I just put them in my spirit. And I... You know, the way you feed your spirit is through your ears, like you feed food through your mouth to your stomach. You feed your spirit through your ears. Faith comes by hearing. And so you have to put yourself in the faith arena. So I had scripture after scripture, reading scriptures every day, taking them in. By the time I got to where they were getting ready to do the procedure, I was laughing. I was full of joy. Of course, they do give you a little gas to help you with that, but you know, to put you out the little sedative. But you know, so I was good, and I woke up in 45 minutes, and they had to wake me up, and they said, "I said, is it done? I didn't even know it was done. Is it done yet? Yep, all done. You're good." Well, a few months later, I had to. Actually, a month later, I had the next one because I had two, and so. I just figured I could just wing it. Anybody ever tried to wing it with their faith? So I wasn't as prepared and as ready with the next one. It hurt. I felt that one more, and it was supposed to be the easier one, according to the doctor. Your faith level determines your victory level. Now, here's a big statement. If nothing defeated Jesus Christ, and we know we've read the word, many of you read through the Bible, nothing ever defeated Jesus. He defeated the devil and all his cohorts, completely defeated. If nothing ever defeated Jesus Christ, then because you are in Christ, nothing has to be permitted or allowed to defeat, devastate, or destroy you. Nothing has to be permitted or allowed to devastate, defeat, or destroy you. Now, remember the first verse we just read. If everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, not Jesus' last name, Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, as Peter said. You are the Son of the living God. If anyone is in Christ, come on now, are you in Christ or are you in crisis? You look a lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. So you're not trying to get victory outside of Christ. Your victory belongs to you because you are in Christ. So if nothing ever defeated Christ, nothing can or ever will defeat, devastate, or destroy you. The problem is people not trying to respond in faith, they're responding in feelings or fear. Come on, y'all. Y'all help me out today. And so they talk defeated. They talk like this thing has devastated them. What are they talking like? The facts and the feelings and the figures. They talk outside of Christ, so they stay in the crisis. Most people get jammed up and blown up because of one thing 1 inch below their nose. They run their mouth and they run their faith off. They run their faith out. Are you listening to me? Let's read it again. Let these truths, 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who's begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. See, when you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with him. You're spirit to spirit firm. I'm not trying to encourage anyone to step outside of Christ, because when you do, you're in crisis. But most people try to operate sometimes their faith outside of Christ, what he has done. So I say, I got to get my healing. I got to get better at this. I got to do better at this. They're trying to use their faith independently or in isolation from the Lord Jesus Christ, when he is the author, the initiator, the developer of our faith anyway. So you just have to surrender yourself to Jesus. I'm facing this challenge, so I need your help developing my faith so I can experience and enjoy victory in this situation. And he's always there to help you, because he never leaves you or forsake you. He said he'll be with you always until the end of the earth. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if y'all got that, really, you'd be hanging off the ceiling. I had to pull you down, put you back in your chair. All right, wake up now. Wake up. Don't go home yet. Hallelujah. See, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you gain the biggest victory of life over death. Death and all is, when we said Jesus is Lord, what do we say? Jesus has absolute mastery over death and all its phases. Did you know sickness is a form of physical death? It's a degree of physical death, because something in your body is dysfunctional or decaying or dying. That's what sickness is. But see, when Jesus is Lord, he has absolute mastery of death in all its phases, over hell and all of its hosts, over sin and all of its consequences, over the devil and Satan and all of his works. So it means if the devil's throwing something at you, Jesus is Lord. He has absolute mastery over that. If hell has come against you somehow, some way, you have Jesus is Lord. He's mastery over all hell and all. So if death is trying to manifest in your body or in your brain, and your brain starts shutting down, your memory starts losing out, you start decaying, you start feeling like you catching dementia or Alzheimer's. No, come on now. Death and all this. But when your brain starts dying, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Somebody say glory to God. But most people don't like to confess Jesus as Lord on a regular, because they think the circumstances is Lord. For a while there, people thought coronavirus was Lord. You know, if you looked at the symbol, it had a little crown. Jesus is victorious over everything. Amen? And so coronavirus and Lord, Jesus is Lord. Somebody said glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. So you got gained victory or life over death. No person on this earth is immune from persecution of the devil or problems, pressures, and pains of life. But God's word is victorious. So if you're facing pain, if you have tremendous pressure, difficult problems right now, then what do? You get wisdom concerning your situation. Because you need to make a decision, And you need to have direction for your faith. Wisdom gives you decisions and directions. Also gives you discernment of what's really going on here. And some people act out ahead of their faith, and they get out ahead of their faith, and they pray out ahead of their faith. But Proverbs 4:7 says it this way, in the New Living Translation, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. In other words, there's always a key issue that you need to address. Whatever problem, pressure, pain, predicament you face or that's facing you, there's always a key issue. So the King James or New King James says it this way, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principle or the primary thing. It's not a principle or primary thing. It is the principle and primary thing. And James 1:5 tells us, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. In other words, you say, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know where to go, Lord. I don't know what to decide right here. I'm in the valley of decision. No, wisdom tells you direction. But you ask God for wisdom from God and he'll give you wisdom so you can get direction. You can get the details step by step by step by step. You can download the discernment and figure out, okay, what's the real issue here? Because I seem like I'm hitting my head against a wall, or my faith is not clicking right now. My faith is not functioning right now. You got to ask for wisdom. Lord, what's going on? Give me wisdom about this situation. I can go into many stories, but time doesn't permit me right now. But you ask wisdom. You should be asking for wisdom every single day, because you need your faith to be focused and to stay faithful in faith every single day. Now, there's four steps I'm going to give you as we tie a bow around this message. Four steps to victory. It will put you in position to receive your victory every time. First step, make the decision. Everybody say, make the decision. Now, here's three decisions you need to say with positive affirmation and strong confidence and courage in your heart. I will not be defeated in life. Why? Because if nothing ever defeated Jesus, you don't permit anything or allow anything to defeat you. Everybody say, I will not be defeated. And then say, then I will not quit. In other words, some people quit believing. Their faith expires, or their faith escapes them because they're exposed to too many people that are always talking fear, doubt, and unbelief, and they just drain the faith right out of them. Or they let them drain the faith right out of them. Or they get so in touch, in tune with their feelings and what the facts are, that they lose their faith as soon as they walk out of God's presence. They just start focusing on that. Everybody say, I will not quit. And then you have to make a decision. I will receive from God. Because victory comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I will receive from God. See, faith is saying, I will get it God's way. I'm not going to try to get it done my way. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this, Romans 8:37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through who? Through Christ, who loved us. What do you have right now? At your possession, at your disposal. More than what you need. Overwhelming victory. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God for overwhelming victory. Now, so sometimes they go, this situation, Pastor, is overwhelming me. No, but you have overwhelming victory. The New King James or regular King James says, more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Everybody say, I am more than a conqueror. That means you have overwhelming victory through Jesus Christ, who loved you. See, this is the decision of quality. When you face that devastating financial situation, you should say, I'm more than a conqueror. I have overwhelming victory through Jesus Christ, my Lord, who loves me. Because most people resort to fear and they don't think God cares or God loves them. Amen. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. All right, so this decision of quality is based on the promises found in God's word, which there is no retreat. Don't retreat or don't quit on God by losing your faith and confident trust in him. Unfortunately, people have faith, but they can't seem to make a quality decision to believe and to receive. So they have faith, but they can't make a decision to believe and receive from God. We must come to a realization and understanding of this question. Will I make a quality decisions or will my indecisions make me? Every time I always tell people, if you're sick or get health challenges, you have to decide very quickly which route are you going to take. If you're going to take the divine healing route, then you got to decide to believe and receive from God. Because healing always comes, but it's not always received. And some people want God to come and heal them, but they're not ready to receive from him. Are you listening to me? The other route, you got to go to the doctor. You better get to packing. You better get to the emergency room, because the way you're talking, you might as well just go to the doctor, because your faith is not ready to receive yet. Are you listening to me? So you got to make a decision. Will your quality decisions, will you make them, or will your indecisions make you? Psalms 119:105, Passion Translation. Truth shining light guides me in my choices and my decisions and decisions. Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and my decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. In other words, your revelation of truth should determine where you're going to stand. If you don't have a lot of truth or a lot of word in you, then you're going to not have much to stand on. But I remember one of my instructors in school, Bible college, he said there's enough healing. The Lord told him there's enough healing. He's doing faith and healing school, prayer and healing school. He said, there's enough healing in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. So some people say, I need a whole bunch of faith then, Pastor. No, Jesus said if you had a grain of a mustard seed, it's not quantity, it's quality. If you had a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, you could say to the mountain, be thou removed. In other words, a problem so big and seemingly insurmountable and seemingly impossible can be removed with just a small amount of faith. But that small amount is quality. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. So keep in mind, we have shared before that decision and a quality decision means to cut off. Incision means to cut in. Excision means to cut out. Circumcision means to cut around. But decision means to cut off. Sometimes you got to cut off things. If I'm going to believe and trust God for my healing or my finances, then I need to cut off all other avenues and voices in my ear. Unfortunately, some people don't do that. They got people in the flesh and people in fear telling them and talking in their ear, man, you better go do this, you better go do this, better go do that, better go do that. And they're being guided by voices and not by truth. Praise the Lord. And they can talk people out of their healing and talk people out of faith and into fear. So a decision means I got to cut off. I got to get in the word. I got to get my faith level up so that my victory level will be up. Amen. See, you got to cut off your flesh, cut off your fears, cut off your feelings, cut off your frustrations from having a say, having a voice, or even having a vote in the matter that you're facing. You can't let your flesh and your feelings have a vote, because if you do, they'll get the popular vote. Your frustrations will outvote your faith, your heart. You got to cut off doubts. You got to cut off deceptions. You got to cut off the discouraging and depressing thoughts that don't contribute to your faith. Sometimes you may have to cut out certain shows. We were having a conversation, my son and I, about our grandson. I said, certain shows aren't good for his faith. He agreed with me. And we said, you know, because that show makes him emotionally unstable. And I said, you know, because you could be inadvertently feeding your fears and starving your faith because of the stuff you look at. So when will you decide to start living by your decisions and not by your emotions? Because faith begins with a firm, decided choice. Albert Camus once said, life is the sum of all your choices. In other words, our life is constructed by words and composed by our choices. Some people have faith, but they can never make a decision to step out or step up into faith. They say, well, I got faith. I've been listening to faith messages. I got faith in my heart. But move. Faith is motion activated. Make a decision. The second step is this. Take your stand in the grace and goodness of God. Where do you got to stand? In the grace. Everybody say grace and goodness of God. Romans 5:2 says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So you stand in the grace and you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that the glory of God's going to show up. The glory of God's going to hit my situation. The glory of God's going to manifest and move in my life and on my behalf. Somebody say hallelujah. Romans 5:2 says it this way in a New Living, but because our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing of God's glory. See, faith gives access to the empowerment and the empowering touch of grace. Grace makes faith takes what grace has made available. Faith expects. Faith expectation prepares and gets ready. Faith expectation prepares and gets ready. What are you getting ready for? What are you expecting? What are you preparing for? For the glory of God to show up. The greatest demonstration that your faith is truly expecting is by what you prepare for. Example again, some people are preparing to die when God is saying, I'm preparing for you to live long life. But some people talk themselves to death. Some people prepare to go broke and get busted and live disgusted, live on that same street, barely get along. But are you preparing to increase and prosper and succeed? See, it's a demonstration of what you are truly expecting from God is shown by what you are preparing for. Amen. Galatians 5:1. So then Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again into slavery to the law. In other words, don't go back to being legalistic, relying on what you feel and what you see. Fully expect the glory of God to manifest in your situation. Step number 3. Give full attention to God's word. Give full attention to God's word. Now, some people give attention, but they don't give full attention. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my saying. Let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. What's the first part of that? The first part of it, don't let the word depart from your eyes. In other words, if you're seeing something else, you're not seeing clearly. Second part is to keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. So then what's coming out of your heart, your mouth determines what's been deposited in your heart. So if what's coming out of your mouth is hysteria, it's panic, it's if you're just going through all kinds of, what do you call it, just going off and just acting crazy and you're talking defeat and talking doubt, talking victim, talking about the problem so big, that's because there's no faith in the heart. But see, you're supposed to keep them before your eyes. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? What do you see? And then you got to be, what are you saying? So what are you seeing and what are you saying is big. Are you seeing and saying victory, or are you seeing and saying defeat? And I'm a victim. Look at Joshua 1 and 8. Same concept. What did he say? This book of the law shall not depart out of where? But thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. So someone said it like this one time. He said, the word of God is like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You got to get your word in your mouth. You got to keep the word in your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of the what? Your mouth. How much mouth-to-mouth resuscitation are you getting from the word? One man of God was told by the Lord, he said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Is your word in his word in your mouth, or is it just your only worries and your woes in your mouth? Now, this is how we break through the limits and enlarge our faith capacity. We call it the Bible principle of total immersion. Total immersion helps you step up your faith. Your faith is your victory. Your faith equals victory. But what does your faith do in this matter? It breaks off some chokeholds on your capacity to believe and trust God and to receive from God. So some things need to be broken off to you. But what is your victory? Your faith. Your faith is your victory. Two, you need to conquer the limitations that is negative stronghold of thinking about the things of God. You got to be thinking, well, this is just a fantasy, a pipe dream to get healed. Well, this is a fantasy or pipe dream to get to receive and experience prosperity. Is it? That's wrong thinking. That's a barrier that needs to be broken. Hallelujah. As we said before, Gloria Copeland said it this way: don't meditate on the need, meditate on the word for the things you need to receive. So how much meditation time are you putting in the word? Think time. Talk time. Talking the word, thinking about the word. Talking the word, thinking about the word. Hearing the word. Thinking about the word, talking about the word. Hearing the word. Thinking about the word, talking about the word. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You know, most of us, men typically speak 5,000 plus words a day. That means we got a shorter window to put the word out. Women usually about 8,000 or more. Just average. I mean, I know some people are different. But you got a lot of time to talk about the word. Let's just say you only talk about the word 250 words to our guy. Some of them math guys. I got my son back there. He's a math guy. What's the percentage? 250 divided by 5,000. 5% word time. That's not total immersion. That's not keeping the word in your mouth. Let's just say 250 divided by 8,000. What's the math? Y'all talk to me. That means you only spend 250 words quoting the Bible or reciting the word. What's the math? Anybody get it? What's the percentage? 250. 250 words is nothing. 3%. Now, most parents and most people, if they're going to drink orange juice and they said, I don't want to give my kid no junk or apple juice, they're going to look at the label and say, what are they going to say? Is this 100% orange juice? Or 100% apple juice? How many of y'all look at labels? Come on now, y'all still with me? But we don't look at our language. We look at labels, but we don't look at our language. Our language should be, 100% word. I mean, if you don't get over the 50% threshold, we know in grade school, when you went to school, if you get 50% out of 100, what kind of grade would you get? An F. Come on, y'all. You would fail that class. I'm teaching you about faith and victory. And you would fail to experience and enjoy victory if you can't get over the 50% threshold level. But if you spend the other 97%, ladies, or the other 95% men, speaking fear, your feelings, the facts, the ugly, nasty facts, and your frustrations, guess what? That's not going to equate to victory. That's going to equate to you being a victim and being defeated. Are y'all seeing this? I mean, if you're a math person, I'm a little math person, so apologize for the math analogy. But hopefully y'all saw it vividly. You can see it vividly that if I spend most of my time thinking, talking, and hearing the junk, fear, frustrations, feelings, facts, I'm not going to overwhelm this situation with overwhelming victory. I'm not going to access overwhelming victory because my faith is going to be so low. It's going to almost be diluted. So weak that you drink it just like that juice or that orange juice. This is not even apple juice. I don't know what they got in here. Are you listening to me? Y'all see what I'm talking about? You got to give full attention to the word. And you might have to put your TV remote in time out. Suspend your Netflix and Hulu and all those subscriptions, Prime Video, for a month and say, I got to get in the word. Because I'm looking around and I'm not seeing victory. I'm not experiencing victory. I'm not enjoying any type of victory right now. Y'all receive that today? Yes. Let's look at step four and we close. Refuse to speak words, because this will set up verse four. Refuse to speak words contrary to what you believe you have received. Now we know the powerful truth of Mark 11, principles of the law of faith, 23 and 24. Whosoever shall say, I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he what saith. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now here's another math. Sorry, people that don't like math, but here's another math formula in verse 24. Desire plus pray plus believe that you receive them equals what? You shall have them. So I got to have three things to equal I have it. I got to have desire, got to pray, I got to believe that I receive them, then I will have them. When do I get them, Pastor? When you pray and when you believe that you receive them. Well, that means I got to believe that I got it before I get it. Yes, you got to got it. Because all physical healing is spiritual. All financial prosperity is spiritual. If you don't receive by faith his grace, which is spiritual, in whatever area of life is spiritual, then you will never experience in life what you desire. So you got to refuse to speak words contrary to what you believe that you receive. So how are you going to answer your relatives or your friends even that say, how's it going with that situation? See, most people will give them the facts, the feelings, the figures, but they will never give them their faith. But you've got to refuse to do what? Speak words contrary to what you believe that you received. You have to refuse to give place to the devil. We're going to talk a lot more about that next month. To entertain his thoughts, because he's going to bring the thoughts, ideas, suggestions. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. So you have to answer every doubt and thought of fear immediately with the word of God. That's why you got to get the word in your thoughts and in your mouth and in your ears. Why? So that when the devil comes and says, you don't think you're going to get healed, do you? If you're silent, you lose by default. You got to learn to talk back to the devil, because he doesn't come in your living room and flare up and say, I'm a big demon, I got a pitchfork, I'm going to take you to hell with me. No, he doesn't do that. He comes in like a subtle snake. And he puts thoughts and he puts ideas and he puts suggestions in your mind to get you to doubt, to get you to distrust God, to get you to go into unbelief. And then that way your victory gets robbed from you. No faith, no victory. Little faith, little victory. A lot of faith, you're going to experience and enjoy a lot of victory. Because if you don't, listen to me, if you don't answer your doubts and thoughts of fear, they will keep talking and they will keep taking from you. If you don't answer them, they'll keep talking and they'll keep taking from you. And then you'll come crying and belly aching and acting hysterical because the devil's being a meanie. That's what he is. You got to learn to talk back to Jesus. Said three times when the devil was talking to him, it is written. He was throwing the word back at the devil. Amen. Guess what we got to do? You got to stand on the word. You got to speak the word. You got to command him to leave you alone based on the authority of God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.